Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Remember That Time Wet. I'm chilling with the Buff Babies. And as usual, we are here to question with Q.
Find out why with your well.
Why we're chilling with Billy.
Unfortunately.
There goes the sound pad.
Yeah, no, the sound pad doesn't have that sound yet, eh?
Oh, the woo-woo-woo?
The woo-woo-woo. All we got is the... But that's enough.
Isn't there a drum one? No.
Nope.
That would have been better.
You reckon?
Yeah. Nice timing, you know. Chilling with Billy.
But is that like a joke?
A joke? Is that what you...
Am I a joke?
Is Billy a joke to you, Q?
Because then it's like, oh, ha-ha, the chicken crossed the road.
So we're chilling with Billy.
Is that the only thing that you guys can link to that sound is a joke? I think you guys need to free your imagination.
Really?
Get creative.
I think he's gaslighting us.
I think I'm being gaslighted.
And I don't know if I'm against it.
What do you mean?
Gaslight me more. Sorry, bro. Sorry.
I don't know what's going on here.
Wow.
No, that doesn't deserve. Yeah, don't you dare.
Don't worry, man. Don't worry.
No. That's a joke.
There we go. That is a joke, I hope.
Hectic, bro.
I hope it was.
Hectic. I mean, yeah, it's been a minute, but we're back.
We are back.
We're excited to offer you guys the wonderful content that we have prepped, we have in the closet. I think to start us off with today, it's a little lighthearted, but it's actually like, if you deep it, it's deep.
Deep it.
Deep it, deep it, deep. I mean, deep this is only it. The intro, but if you guys had to describe color to a blind person, how would you go about it?
Deep it. I don't know.
I think a great place to start is to describe the things we normally associate with red so that they can get a sense of a feel of what maybe red
is. Ooh, that's actually quite...
I think we normally associate red with a lot of heat, you know, fire, and we can also associate... Just list all the things and then maybe...
That's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
That's smarter than my way.
What was your way?
I was going to be like, oh... You know how blueberry tastes? That's how blue tastes. You know how like a strawberry tastes?
That's how red tastes. I think a combination of the both would be ideal.
You know what I just clocked that you guys are doing right now? You guys are combining the other senses' perception of the color to compensate
for
the lack of that sense. Deep it, bro.
Or not even senses. You could do feelings.
Emotions.
Sad.
Whoa.
Blue, anger. Yeah. Red.
Colors are such a crazy, like, they're much more like
involved in our lives than we 100%.
Yeah.
We've seen it in our study areas.
Exactly.
How they have different colors and how people, some people feel more comfortable, more calm working next to certain colors.
Oh, like level 5 and 2 with the red
it's
is
so
awful.
Aggressive.
Horrible.
I don't know. I don't know, maybe I'm weird. It doesn't affect me, bro.
It doesn't.
Now green is elite, bro. Green is elite.
No, I
maybe
like
it happens to me subconsciously and I don't actually notice it.
You mean blue? You like blue? Blue gets me
blue's
in a chatty
calm,
mood.
Bro.
I feel like talking to people when I'm on blue, when like, I'm in like a blue.
It's just the ocean. I just want to keep quiet, let it go back and forth.
You scared of the ocean?
I'm scared of
the parts we don't know about the ocean. The deep, deep.
So the
deep.
Ocean, bro.
Nah, the shallow part where I can see the sand. I'm happy with that.
The thing is, we don't know 93% of the ocean.
I'm happy
Isn't
with that.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. I was telling him the other day, he completely ignored me like I was crazy.
What? Who were you telling?
You. When we
I know this information.
I wasn't telling you the information. I was just saying.
Oh.
I was just stating it and he just ignored me.
What?
Like
he
wasn't
say?
Scared.
Do you know what it is? Q has an irrational fear of things you wouldn't expect him to have a fear of.
But the ocean is very
That's
rational.
That's very valid,
though.
Bro.
But it's but so like when he started speaking about it, I thought it was one of his things that he was just scared of.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Because he's scared of birds.
There's only one thing I'm scared of.
Birds are scary.
There's only one thing. You could group all those things.
Okay.
Birds.
Okay.
Birds and anything that attempts to fly but can't fly.
Birds can fly, though.
But I'm adding on to that.
Chickens.
And ostriches.
I'm also scared of those. Birds. Yo, ostriches
are aggressive.
Penguins?
I haven't really been face to face with the penguin.
Oh, okay.
I feel like you'd
Nah, penguins, I think we get along.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. Penguins, like penguins of Madagascar.
You guys walk the same way.
No, don't you dare hit any of those sounds. Hey.
Don't invite it.
No, wait.
Thank you, Billy. Thank you. I like that.
Are you serious?
That was a sad joke.
Can you waddle like a penguin, bro?
That is a sad joke.
Don't you, never seen him waddle?
It's probably been used so many times.
By me.
No.
And only me.
No.
Who else makes fun of your waddle? Tell me so I can go and confront them about it.
More people before I've met you, Joel. You're not the funniest guy I've met.
That's not nice.
What? Waddling?
No. The people said you waddle in the past.
Yeah, bro. That's so mean.
I probably said meaner things, so it's okay.
You're a horrible person.
Thank you.
So how are we saying? So are we concluding that we describe things that we associate with the color?
You know what's crazy, actually, though?
Mm-hmm.
How, like, the blue I see may not be the blue you see. Like, what if I'm seeing blue, but to you, that's your red, and we'll never know because we all see different things.
Unless, it comes up in conversation.
There's also been tests. Like,
has there been tests?
Yeah, like,
what if it's a different blue? Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay, like shades.
Like, how would you know that, like, what I'm looking at is the same thing you're looking at?
Mm.
Exactly. Does that make sense?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, like
we could identify. We could both conclude it's blue.
Yeah, but like,
could we?
Oh, I mean,
unless you're colorblind.
We have tests as kids growing up where they'd say, "What color is this?" And you write red, blue, green. I mean, you would have failed dismal.
That's true. But what if it's still different?
Yeah, I'd agree with the different shades.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you see a light blue and I'm seeing a dark blue, and we both say blue. But then yet again, if we were to actually say, well, "What color is that?" And you say light blue, and I say light blue. Chances are we on the same page.
Are you talking about like completely different colors?
I don't know.
Oh, wait. Are you talking about how like people just, whoa. What if you're a kid, right? And you grow up being told that what people see is blue, but you see it as what they would call red.
Yeah, and you'll never know.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh my God,
and then like
that's
you grow
so
up
deep,
calling
bruh.
It this color.
No, you would
like,
know though.
Pow.
Unless you're tested.
Guys, if you're given the same... If I say all of us, all three of us look at this one color and I say what color.
Oh, yes, unless you're tested. Yeah, I get that.
Which
I get
you would be.
Yeah.
But what if...
What if you've gone all your life without it?
There's no...
But what if I'm looking at this, right? And I'm going to say, I think this is green. And you're like, oh yeah, this is green. But what if, really, to you, this is purple. But to me, someone pointed to this and said, this is green. But really, I always thought... Do you know what I'm saying? Like from the beginning, someone points to something, teaches you, this is green.
Mm.
But what if what I'm seeing isn't what they think is green, but because they're telling me this is green, I'm going to be like, okay, yeah, that's green.
I get you.
I don't know what I'm saying.
I think these thoughts just come out sometimes. I don't know if it makes sense.
No, but that's very fair though. I didn't even consider that.
I think there's been some scientific research to
probably.
Disprove it.
Probably. No way. I don't go by science.
Surely.
Let's be honest.
Surely. Oh, you don't go by science?
No.
What do you go by?
I don't know. Sometimes feeling.
Oh.
Science is disproven every 5 years.
So which one on your scale would be how you feel or science or is it, which one do you go to? Like if you say something new, do you research it or do you go, how am I feeling now?
Yeah, how was your approach? Yeah.
I don't know.
What's the process?
I feel like I'll look something up and be like, okay, this could be true. But I'm not going to take it as fact because maybe in 10 years it'll be like, it wasn't true anymore.
It's like a fact with some timeline attached to it.
You want to hear something crazy that I heard? This is kind of a conspiracy. This is just something crazy I heard about science.
Okay.
Right? Did you know to get rid of your hiccups, you just have to like think to yourself, I'm not a fish, and you'll stop hiccuping. And there's research, scientific research, research.
I believe it. The mind is powerful, bro. But would you have to believe initially that, would you have to know that that's where it comes from? Or could just any random person who has no knowledge of anything, who has hiccups, and yeah, I go, true. Think you're not a fish. And all of a sudden, you stop.
That's a good point. I don't know.
It hasn't worked for me.
You've tried the I'm not a fish? You knew about it.
Yeah. And it's the thing of like, again, I'm not sure if I believe enough that I'm not a fish.
That's funny.
Do you get what I mean? Like, I don't know if I'm not a fish enough for it to, that's where my issue with that thing works. Because like, to what extent do you have to believe you're not a fish enough for it to work?
Yeah.
Because you can truly never say that it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? Hectic, bro.
That's funny.
I've seen many things, bro. As I putting a white piece of paper on your forehead. It works as well. People have said it works. I think it's all just your mind. That's all it is.
You know, it could be.
People could attach anything.
The placebo effect, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. It is, bro. But you know, like along those lines of like, you know, especially with what you said regarding science and stuff and the response that you have to science, would you say that's influenced, say, the way you've chosen, like the things you've chosen to study and the things you've chosen to do?
Probably, because I hate science and I'll never do it.
Do you mean like scientific study or like you
just don't? Yeah, scientific study, never been my thing.
Was it maybe how you were, like your exposure to it, or just...
You know, I don't hate science.
Mm.
It's just not my thing. STEM things,
mm-hmm.
I've been far from that my whole life. I've done it in high school because I had to.
Mm-hmm.
But my teachers struggled with me.
Mm.
Struggled.
That's interesting.
I don't know.
Would you say you ever had like a, you had more of an inclination towards the literary arts?
For sure.
From day one? Or from like a, that's so cool, bro.
You didn't?
Because for me, it was science.
Really?
From day one.
Really?
Right, yeah.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I think just from, because my earliest memories were of me playing with like Legos.
Mm.
But like the complicated set of Legos where you'd need to like, getting screws and stuff like that to build like these cranes and stuff like that. Like,
oh, really? Wow.
And I remember it would just like amaze me.
Yeah.
And my dad used to buy me these kits, like car kits, where you could build like these small cars from like their small pieces and they could like actually move and stuff.
Mm.
And I was always just so amazed by it. But the thing is, could that have been just my interests or my parents influencing it through...
Because they did buy it for you.
Exactly.
Mm.
Because I don't remember asking for those things. I just found them one day. Mm. And I started playing and fiddling with them. And I acted on it. What are your thoughts on that, Q?
I don't know. That's crazy. Because I feel like maybe if I'd been exposed to more things like that as a kid, you know, maybe I would have, you know, been attached myself to something a lot quicker.
Mm.
You know, because I never really... Well, I did play with toys. You know, I played with... cars, stuff like cards, you know, stuff. The normal toys, you know.
Why does he sound so sad saying that?
Barbie here and then.
We love a good Barbie.
We do.
Yeah,
we
do.
Like I grew in the up dream two house. Sisters.
Yeah.
So I,
you take know, what you can get. You
it
know?
Was fun. We made up all. The one thing we really liked was like making up, like a make, like setting up a scene.
Oh yeah.
Using the toys,
yes.
And we act as if we are the toys.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And then we just. Play out different scenarios.
Yes.
Mm.
And it was fun to see how, like, if I had been having a certain day, I could show it through my...
Oh, my days.
Toy.
Therapy.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. That's, like, imagine... Because we didn't have really had a lot of toys.
Mm.
So most of the time, we had to use our imagination.
Same.
In order to, like, create fun scenarios. And we would all believe it. There was no person who was like, come on, guys, that's not true. We were all so, like, in this... The state where we just wanted to imagine everything.
Yo, that's, I feel like that's what's lacking in today's kids, bro.
Phones are horrible.
Mm.
People don't have to work for, like, I don't know, to have fun as that's kids crazy. Anymore.
I remember I used to fight villains that I saw in, like, cartoons in my room with my brother. And my younger brother was, like, my sidekick. He'd be like, hey, come on, don't die on me. Don't die on me, Nathan.
No, it was fun.
I feel like there's a beauty in
there
that
is,
as well.
Bro.
There is, like, I feel like, no, because... My parents would just be like, Sammy, we'll just go outside. And we'd have to make up, we like made up our own games, taught it to the rest of the kids
beautiful.
In the neighborhood.
See.
Yeah, we called it, we had a few, Food Chain, Troll.
You know what's crazy?
And we made them up and the whole neighborhood knew.
Mm-hmm. You know what's crazy? Having like never introduced the games to each other before, we would come up with the same games.
Oh, yeah.
But different names.
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah, we would rock up and be like, hey, guys, let me teach you a new game. We'd like, describe the game. And they're like, well, we know that game.
Oh, my God. I know.
You guys just call it something else.
And we do it better.
Yo. And it's just, it's crazy how games were so interlinked. Mm. It was crazy, bro. Mm.
Do you guys remember Symbionic Titan?
What is that?
It's like a Cartoon Network show.
Nope.
Symbionic Titan. Do you guys remember Generator X?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you guys know that show?
The orange guy? It.
Yeah, the one who could become like, yo, I love that show, bro. And Ben 10, like Alien Force and so on. That's when, around that time period. When Generator X was going on, Symbionic Titan and
Foster's
so on.
Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends.
Ooh, was that? Was there a blue character?
Yeah.
There was a blue character, right? I'm not tripping.
Yeah.
Those times were peak imagination season for me, bro. Yeah. I would sometimes adopt those powers and stuff. But it's like,
I think that's where a lot of it came with us imagining those games. We were probably watching the same shows. Exactly. And we got the same ideas.
Precisely, that could have been it. But it's like, isn't it crazy how like, as we slowly progress, we become less inclined to imagine things, less inclined to be as creatively free as we wish to be. Mm. I think that's more plausible in like in a STEM like career path, like the lack of creativity. Even though they encourage they claim to encourage creativity in such fields. I feel like when you're in the literary arts, you're more likely to express yourself.
Yeah, I feel like I disagree. I just feel like it's being creative in different ways.
Hmm. Okay.
Because in the STEM field, both fields, you have to create.
Mm-hmm.
You're just creating different things and for different purposes.
I think,
you know?
I don't know. I think at a young age, it's not so much, especially with like school, you know, you just go home, you study something. You get tested on that same thing. You just have to take that thing and put it in a piece of paper.
Mm.
Maybe add a little bit of, you know, application to it. But there's not really much that encourages you to imagine without restrictions.
That was always English for me.
Oh, yeah, fair.
So, like, literature for me, when in high school, it was the only, and bro, I would go wild, man. I would go wild. It was the reason why I'm such a big fan of, like English being taught in like STEM curriculums.
It's
the reason why I'm a huge fan of that is, one, obviously communication is necessary, articulation is necessary, but also it allows for a creative escape, bro. I remember like I'd be for weeks in a time solely focused on like a test for physics or chemistry that I had to prep for, and then we'd have those like English lessons where we only did creative writing every like once a week or so, and those were the highlights of my week, bro.
That's cute.
Damn.
So that's where I speak from. But you were saying, I like what you said. You said you were creative in different ways.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't really thinking about it too much in terms of grade school, because I was thinking about it now and like the careers that come from both, you know, ends of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wanted to be a doctor, and then I realized my skills do not translate, and I ended that dream fairly quickly in high school. And I only wanted to be a doctor because I wanted to help people. And then I was like,
there's more than one way.
You need biology, you need chemistry, and those weren't my things. Those weren't my things.
But I'm sure you'll find a way to help people.
With
you do now.
Yeah. Sure. Sure. No, I hope so. I hope so.
No,
it's just funny how, like, I don't know how your dreams can change so fast in school. Like when I was little, I would tell people that I would like be a doctor by day, a singer by night, a soccer player in the off seasons,
okay,
and a cheetah saver in my free time. I'm not even joking. For years, I would say that exact thing verbatim.
I'm hoping this is the right sound.
Years kids. I said that exact thing verbatim, and I thought it was possible.
That's amazing, though.
That's crazy.
Do you know what I mean?
You have to factor in a little bit of sleeping there, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes.
No sleep.
This is what I mean, guys. Sleep. This is what I mean. We don't need sleep. If only we didn't need sleep, bro.
I disagree with that so much, bro.
I can't save any cheetahs if I'm tired.
What if you didn't need to be tired? What if you didn't need to be tired, but you could choose to sleep? Do you get what I mean? Sleeping was an option, not a necessity. Think about that.
What?
What if sleeping wasn't a necessity, but you could still sleep if you wanted to?
Why would you want to sleep, though, if you didn't need to?
Because you guys are saying that sleep is a nice experience.
It
is nice.
I like doing nothing sometimes. But I love only, not talking sometimes.
Isn't that linked to you being tired?
Is it?
If you weren't tired, would you really feel like sleeping?
Well, okay, here's the thing. Let's say not even just from being tired. Meditation. Yeah, taking time to do absolutely nothing. Not because you're tired, but because you need to do nothing sometimes.
Mindfulness.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. What don't you know?
I don't know. I feel like sometimes, I think meditation is, I'm not an expert in it anyway. I recently just started meditation. Mm-hmm. But like, I feel like it's because sometimes, like, you know, you're moving from one, especially in our times, you're moving from one thing to the next, to the next. To the,
yeah.
Your mind is constantly, always, there's always movement, you know. And what I've come to learn is that meditation is not really silencing your mind, but it's allowing you to be present with your mind, like to like imagine yourself taking your mind outside and then looking at it from an objective viewpoint and just like almost just seeing what's going on in your mind, you know, connecting with your mind and seeing how your mind works.
That's amazing.
Instead of like just shutting it off, which I feel like sometimes sleep is good. You know, it's good for helping you process stuff and all of that. But I feel like a lot of people, instead of like actually figuring out what's going on, you'd rather just go to bed.
Here's my question for you. Let's say people who don't meditate like me, I don't meditate. I should. I feel like I've heard about it, you know. But do you think like for me, it takes me a while to fall asleep. So kind of the 20 minutes or so that I'm laying in bed, not doing anything, trying to fall asleep. Is that kind of like meditation, like you're reflecting?
I think so,
Your thoughts are moving. Yeah. So in that way, sleep is kind of beneficial because it's kind of like you meditate before you sleep.
But how many people do that?
I don't know, insomnia? Crazy.
Because a lot of people just watch a show until you fall asleep. You scroll on your phone until your eyes literally pass out.
That's fair.
Okay. I like to lay.
Because a lot of people...
Especially when I was when I was suffering from insomnia.
Did you?
Yeah, that was what I did.
How did you do not anymore?
Yeah. I recovered.
How did you recover?
This is
if you want to share.
No, I can share, but it's gonna be like it's where I like I made changes to my life, motivated by my faith, by my search for self improvement and so on, and because the insomnia was a byproduct of. So depressive episodes, that's what the insomnia was a byproduct of. But during that period of time, that insomnia was like, to be fair, it was my thoughts that were keeping me up. Is that the same for insomniacs, or are insomniacs just unable to sleep, regardless of the thoughts they have?
I'm actually not completely sure. Sleep is just so interesting. Do you guys ever get sleep paralysis?
Never. I've never gotten sleep paralysis.
I have.
It must be. I think you mentioned this in a.
Did I mention in an
episode?
It's crazy.
You told us, sleep paralysis does. Sound like
meditation,
something.
Meditation, sleep, crazy.
I think you can get the meditation aspect out of the sleep, but again, like you said, about how many people? That's a very important question. I think when you specifically allocate time to meditation in your calendar, there will be a greater number of people who would practice it, as opposed to people who practice it just before bed. Because again, speaking from experience, it's much easier to really tire yourself on your phone.
But I also feel like meditation is a decision. It's not just...
That's true.
You're not just lying in your bed and then you're literally... What else are you going to do? So your mind automatically just starts doing things, you know? I think you have to take the decision that now I'm going to meditate.
Okay. You have to be mindful.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's very valid. But it's like... Do you think, for example, like these things that we understood, these things that we continue to learn about ourselves and these things that we continue to explore, do you think they sort of shape the way that we look at the world with regards to what it is that we want to do and so on? Like these these periods of time where we reflect on our thoughts, when in our silence, when we're just in our head. Do you guys ever question what you're doing? Do you guys ever question if it's the right path?
All the time. I think I don't know. I think maybe I think about it a lot. And I think it comes from, if we could link to the actual today's topic, you know, she was the time she was speaking that she kind of brought it in nicely. But I think first announce today's topic because it does link for me. I can start if that's what you want. So I think today's topic was what we wanted to be growing up versus what we are now and where we're heading. Right. So for me, I think growing up, I like, there was a stage in my life where I was like very frustrated. If you want, yeah, I was very frustrated because a lot of the people seemed like they knew what they wanted to do and I had no clue, you know. And a lot of the things that I did, I was good, but I didn't feel like I was like great, you know. Because if you, I feel like it's easier if you feel like, oh, I'm great at this. I'm like, even though, because I was in a town, I was like number one in quite a couple of things, but like, you don't know how you'd be in the open world, you know. So, and especially seeing that a lot of my friends going out there and doing really great stuff, it makes you question yourself as to like, what am I supposed to do? What is my thing, you know? And I even went through a period where I was just like trying out everything. Everything. I was just, I tried DJing.
Why have you never shown us your DJ skills? It's been a whole year now.
I don't know. It's been a while. I'd probably be so bad, guys. Probably so bad. But I tried out. There was a time I thought I was going to be a professional tennis player.
You've said this before, I think. I remember.
I tried that. That is one thing that like I really, really, really tried. I tried a little bit of art. But anything you can best think of, I tried it. But the problem is, when your main focus is finding out what you're meant to be, you're so quick to move on to the next thing and never really spend enough time on the thing you're doing currently. You don't stay there long enough to find something, you
can
know.
Can I ask what art did you, what did you do and why? Do you think you left it too early? Like what you're saying?
A lot of these things I left too early.
Okay.
Because like, in order to be like good, or at least when you think you're good, that takes a while.
That's true.
So I could have been good at art. I could have been good at all the things that I tried, but I just never stayed there long enough because I was like, it felt like I was wasting time and it felt like I needed to this. I needed to immediately feel that this is my thing.
Was it painting? Sorry, I had no idea.
My sister was huge on this initially. Okay. She was like big in art and she's still good now. She's very good at just sketching.
Okay, that's sketching. Nice.
Not necessarily, not painting.
Yeah.
Yeah, not painting. Like sketching. She's very good. So I was like, oh, what if, you know, this is what I'm interested in. And I tried music. I tried playing the guitar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I played the piano a little bit. My sister was also very interested in the piano.
Oh, wow.
I think she went through a similar phase now that I think about it.
I feel like you guys were searching for your path.
Yeah, we were moving onto so many things. But you know, now I just wonder what would have happened if I maybe stuck with something for a long period, you know, stayed there long enough.
Do you think that's a healthy mindset to have?
Of wondering what would have been? I don't think so. I think not staying too long with that thought, but like extracting the fact that for the future, maybe I won't necessarily do something and have this feeling that this is mine.
I mean, the thing is, nothing's ever like,
this is what I'm meant to do.
Nothing's ever a waste of time. Even if you do something for a little bit, you're still gaining some kind of skill, some kind of life lesson. And who's to say you can't go back?
Yeah.
You're young. Man, you're 19. Hey, yeah. You can always go back to the guitar. Or, I don't know, go back to anything you want.
I definitely, you know what I mean? It did spark something. Because even sometimes I just miss, like, you know, playing my guitar, playing the piano. I missed that. So obviously there was something that was sparked in me, but I just didn't stay there long enough. But it has helped me because now I understand that for you to truly find that something is yours, you're not going to do it the first time and get that feeling. You have to stay there long enough. And like, so that's what I'm doing now. That's how that type of thinking has helped me think better in the future.
Do you think being good at something guarantees that it's your calling?
No. And I also learned that. Yeah, that's a good shout, bro. That's a good shout.
Yeah. But how much do you think talent plays a factor? talent versus
hard work.
Dedication. Yeah, talent versus hard work. Because I do think that for some things, you do need a little bit of a knack for it. I won't lie to you. Because you can work so hard at something, and you'll just never get it. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad thing.
You know what it is? There's two sides to that that I really resonate with what you just said. It's okay. So the first thing is, a lot of people just... So it's like, the most successful individuals tend to be the most, like, tend to have a talent for what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But when you go back and look at their life, on average, you guys would be amazed. On average, this is like actually like a statistical, like a study was conducted on this with, I think, specifically regarding violinists at NY, like a musical university at NY, like in New York, one of the biggest ones. I don't remember exactly which one it was. They found that the kids that while growing up were excelling the most at violin tended to lap their like other musical colleagues with regards to hours put in. So even though they had the talent, a lot of the times, if you're successful and you have talent, when you look back at that individual's life, they would have put in more hours.
That's true.
Do you ever think that the link between that is the fact that if you do something and you see that you're improving at it a lot quicker, it's a lot more encouraging for you to put more hours in someone who's doing something.
The motivational aspect,
No, it feels good to do something good. It's good to feel good at something.
And
Sorry, but there's like this, there's also an important point to, so there's a, I forget what the theory is called or the concept is called, but it's something dip. Do you know what I mean?
Dip?
It's someone's name and then dip.
What does it mean?
So basically the principle is that regardless of what you're doing, regardless of the talent that you have, there will be a period of time where you dip in performance. And that dip will last as long as it needs to, but is followed by an exponential increase in skill, an exponential increase in productivity in that specific thing. So regardless of how good you are at the start, there's bound to come a time when your performance isn't going to, like, you know, your trajectory plateaus, might even dip, it becomes stagnant.
For sure.
But I, you know what? My theory is that's when it's important to have a conducive environment around you.
Support.
That's where my theory, like my thing is like, you could be great at something or you could be bad at something. But the key point is that you have people around you that keep you motivated and that keep you disciplined and, like, you know, keep you focused on what you need to do. And again, to go back to what you said, sometimes it won't work out.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think that's why it's important to fall in love with the process instead of the destination.
Yeah, because, I don't know, you can take something out of everything, even if you just did it for a little bit. I don't know.
That's
very
true. I resonate with that. But what were your experiences like growing up? What, like, you told us that you wanted to be a doctor slash a cheetah saver slash a football player.
My mom just put me in a lot of things. My mom and dad just put me in a lot of activities.
Oh, that's good.
Which was nice. I played piano for years. I sang for years. I played soccer. I did horseback riding for a hot minute.
That's dope.
And I quit because of these dogs. And I was scared of the dog. I lasted like good 3-4 years. Every day, the dogs would chase me into the stable. And I was crying. Bro. Lasted 3. I couldn't do it anymore.
They couldn't do anything about the dogs chasing
for
you?
For
3 years.
They were saying, oh no, that's just what they do. They're just having fun with you. But I was terrified.
Oh, it's why. Okay.
The dogs weren't bad.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I was just terrified of them.
Understandable.
I really enjoyed doing a lot of things. I think my mom just didn't want me to just have school. My dad was like, you know, Billen, you have to do sports.
Do
music.
Shout out mom and dad.
Yeah. It's
such a great mindset, bro.
It is. And the thing is, like, I don't know. I feel like I feel grateful to have had those opportunities because I know a lot of people, you know, can't, you know. So, and then I feel grateful that my school also had activities that we could do and stuff after school. That was easier on my parents. They didn't have to come home so early. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we had our own things going on and... Yeah, no, I think it helped me figure out a lot of stuff. Like, I thought I wanted to be a journalist. And, you know, it's fun to have different passions come up and change. It makes it exciting.
You get more dimensions to your identity, bro.
Yeah, and I feel like I don't get it when people are like, oh, no, when I was 5, I said I wanted to be a vet. and I'm a vet today, and that never changed. I'm like, how? Like, how do you stick to... It's amazing when people can do that.
Yeah, no, I get you.
But because I'm too indecisive, to be honest. You know, I still don't know what I want.
That's my story.
Is it?
What's from day one, I've wanted to be a mechanical engineer.
Really? From but day how? One. How but did I feel you like know?
The really, really... In most fields, the really great people have been at it since they were children.
Yeah, yeah. To be a great... To be great. Yeah. To be great. So you need to get in your 10,000 hours. That's And like you can't argue with that. That is it's a given. On average, you need to have 10,000 hours of efficient work to become a master in your field. So it's like that point is that's a very valid point. But it's also like you get tired if you keep chasing it. You know what I mean? From day one, you want some more spice in your life. You tend to maybe ignore the other things. You know, it's come up in conversation with you a lot. For me growing up, it was always a thing of like, I felt like I was focusing too much. You feel that too, right? Did it stop now?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Was it hitting the laptop?
I think it was. Yeah, okay. Sorry, guys.
Had a little technical difficulty. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
But as I was saying, you know, when you make academics your... Because again, to be a mechanical engineer, you need to be academically inclined, at least in the STEM fields. And for that to be the case, you need to give up on a lot of stuff. Otherwise, it becomes too difficult to juggle too many things at once. But it's something that, again, this semester in particular and starting this podcast has like really shed a light. Like I realized fairly recently that I didn't really have that many hobbies in my life that really kept me satisfied.
Do you think you had to give up like when you were growing up?
What got you there?
To what that state of giving up?
Specifically this semester, this year.
Oh, you mean like to starting the hobbies?
Yeah. What got you thinking that maybe I should do something outside of academics?
You know, it wasn't even like I joke around saying that it's like a coping mechanism for how difficult academics are and what. But in reality, first semester went quite well for me.
Yeah.
That's good.
So I could have continued in that regard. But then I realized...
This one.
Applause, yeah. Always. Oh. Thank you.
Yay.
But I realized that seeing how much more from life that people were able to enjoy, I realized, why am I not trying things? Mm. Why am I not putting myself in uncomfortable situations to really see if I have a passion for some things? And, you know, lo and behold, I do have passions.
You do?
That I just haven't been given an opportunity to explore. Haven't
tapped into them.
Yeah. So that's why whenever I hear from you guys about like the fact that you were able to grow up doing so many different things, it's so amazing. Like you guys have like as respectable as I believe it is to be focused on one thing all your life and give your energy to it. I also find that there's a level of confidence that you are only able to develop by doing so many different things. By getting out of your comfort zone so frequently, because it's not easy. I remember one thing that I'll never forget for the rest of my life was that one time I went to like a Model United Nations debate.
Ooh, how was
the
that?
The first time in my life I went. I barely spoke. I spoke a couple of times, made some critical points.
Nice.
Shout out.
And going back home, I was like, I'm not doing that again. But
the experience was.
The experience like taught me
unforgettable.
Innumerable lessons, bruh. Like I realized that I might have been missing out on these experiences because I thought that I had to give everything to my academics.
And I'm sure those lessons you learn from doing things outside of that thing that you solely focus on add to that thing. You have a different maybe perspective or different tools and things going into that thing that you're focusing on solely.
They do, for sure. They do.
Is there anything you guys wish you really didn't do? Like you're like, oh, maybe your parents force you to do it or something, and you're like, ugh, God, if I could do it again, I wouldn't do it. Or I don't know.
I don't know. I was nothing. I was really forced. My parents never really said do that, except for academics. That's the only thing. But other than that, the other things they were like, you know, we've put you in a school that allows you to do many things. It's up to you to do. Just do something.
And do you mean by that? Do you mean like that we regret now or that we regret it then? Is that something?
I don't know. Maybe then.
Oh, music. I was really irritated with the fact that my mom would force me to go to music lessons on Saturday mornings.
What did he learn? What were you learning?
Yeah.
So the music lessons were specifically for like piano.
Okay.
And I remember I used to hate it because the I think the teacher liked me. So she expected so much more from me than other students. So she was always like hitting me with those like, what is it? Passive aggressive remarks. Mm-hmm. In the sense that like, oh, you well, I know you. You should be able to do this already.
I feel like that's not okay. Like that's kind of pressure.
Yeah. That came from a place of like, she liked my personality, I guess. I don't know.
Do you feel like you would have maybe found an interest if she didn't do that?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think piano is my thing. Piano, like I love piano.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was my thing. Guitar was more of my thing.
Okay. Because
when I had a guitar teacher as well, he did the same thing.
Oh, but you liked
But I didn't care. Okay. I didn't care because I was so obsessed with the...
So there's a pattern there, buddy. What's going on?
I don't know. I think I'm just a very likable person.
Or a musical prodigy.
Choosing your own horn, bro.
Uzi, do you see this guy? He's doubting it. Don't you think I'm a likable guy? Thanks, Uzi. Yeah, the
that
sound
was
good.
So under his breath.
I don't know. I just assumed it was a yes.
To say. He was not proud.
It's like I was holding a gun to his head, bro. Yeah, no. No, it was... But yeah, definitely then. Mm. But now I don't think I really regret anything that they forced me to do.
Mm. Swimming was horrible, bro.
Oh my God, I hated swimming.
I came out looking like an ash. From
Pokemon?
I wish.
Do you mean like on like a swim team or lessons or like what did you...
My school had this rule.
Mm. That at school?
Everyone had to participate.
Why? Same. In swimming?
Same.
Every other sport, they didn't care. They didn't care. But for some reason, swimming was a thing. Everyone.
Why?
I don't know. I remember every time. You have a lot of homework going back home. You have a lot of stress. And then you're going to... After swimming, you have to sleep. You're so
it's
drained.
It's so exhausting, bro.
It is exhausting.
I used to have them in
you're
the morning. Imagine.
Really?
You're ashy. You need lotion. Immediately.
Yo.
There's just...
I wouldn't moisturize.
We would chill.
Swimming lessons.
That's it. That's crazy.
I wouldn't. I just because I didn't think that those were real, bro.
I remember my dad put me in lessons.
Didn't think what was real?
Which one?
I didn't think lotion was real.
Lotion.
What does that even mean?
Lotion.
But I was really young then. I was like in eighth grade, bro.
Did your parents force you to put lotion?
I didn't know what my mom would force me to apply.
Were you itchy? Did you ever feel itchy?
What do you mean?
This one time my friend was like, Billan, don't you get itchy in the winter? And I was like, ew, what? And she was like, yeah, you get itchy in the winter. And I'm like, why? She's like, because it's dry. And I was like, girl, put on some lotion. And she she said, I don't put on lotion.
Our winters aren't that cold, so I never had to deal with that in the UAE.
Okay.
But like,
nah,
no,
but
I
don't
kid
be,
you not,
they
guys.
Get itchy. People.
I have this weird habit.
What is your weird habit?
I think my mother was bad at putting lotion on children.
Jesus Christ, bro.
She used to slap the shit out of me when she was applying lotion.
What do you mean?
She's like, be so aggressive with it. Even now when I put lotion, I'm so aggressive. And I just sometimes just look at myself in the mirror. Why are you doing that, bro? I just find myself like being really like that, 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 that. I don't know why she would do that, bro.
Villain's dying, dog.
But I can't. Like you.
Oh my God, bro. She used to smack you.
after, you can imagine, bro.
Man, I wish I could see that. That sounds so funny. And you're gasping for air in between.
He's trying his best to breathe.
Oh my God.
Mom. It's mom.
I can't even express that as a child, but you can just imagine me and my thoughts.
Mom. And he's too scared to talk back to her because she'll increase the frequency. Ma.
It's so weird. I'm so aggressive when putting on lotion. I don't get it.
That's why whenever Q tells me that he's showering and what, and he's getting like freshening up before we meet up, I've never seen him leave his room with a smile. I've never
traumatic.
Seen him. Yeah, because he's
trauma.
Yeah, bro. He relives that.
Damn, I've never even told my mother. I need to tell her, bro.
Yeah, bro. You need to confront her, bro. Childhood trauma, bro.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. I didn't believe lotion was real.
You
used to get slapped. What was your experience with moisturizing?
With moisturizing, I don't know, but with swimming, I thought my tan lines would never go away.
Oh, damn, bro.
My dad put me in lessons in the middle of July at 1 p.m. every day for a month.
Same.
Yeah, and I had tan time? Lines.
Yeah, bro.
That's crazy. No,
either 2 or 3 p.m.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I had tan lines for a year. A year. They never went away. It was so
You
guys bad. Also,
wait, you went for lessons?
Yeah.
You also went for lessons?
But they weren't That's useful crazy. At all, bro. That's crazy. They weren't useful at all.
Because I didn't have them at school. No, mine was useful, bro.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because you.
Yeah, I mean, to teach you how to swim.
Yeah. They were good, bro. It was really? A mission. But we got there. I remember we had badges.
Oh, that's cute.
Chest badges for when you did 20, when you've completed 25 meters. It was like a huge thing. They gave you a badge. I still have the badge. 50 so meters.
Motivating. To be honest, all I took out of it was like how to float.
Same.
I love floating.
My instructor had like a heart-shaped thumb. Have you seen those?
No.
You guys have never seen heart-shaped thumbs? I think those are things. I think there's like a condition.
I've seen heart-shaped ears, but... Thumbs?
Heart-shaped ears.
Yeah, they like connect fully here, bro, and it forms like a heart.
Oh, no.
Well, you meant like a full heart?
Yeah.
That's crazy,
I was
bro.
Worried. But his thumb was like that. His thumb was like a heart. Like, you know, like the...
Ooh, okay.
Like the I love... Like the... Nah. It was like that. And I remember every time he would tell us to swim, he'd show us the movements, and all I could focus on was his thumb.
Was
so
his
you
thumb.
Can imagine, I'm just following his thumb. His thumb moving around. And he's like, hey, you what are you doing? I'm like, sorry, sir. I need you
it's
to put that thumb
brother,
away.
It's all out, brother.
I need you to put that every time you give us like a thumbs up, it felt better. Better than a normal thumbs up. Because, you know, it's like I love you as well, bro.
Oh,
I'm trying to
show double meaning.
Oh, shape thumbs, bro. I've never seen such a
bro.
In my life.
Double entendre. Dre, dre.
Is it a...
Are you looking up heart shape?
I need
thumb.
To see how this thing
did you get it?
Wait. I think I can. Wait. And...
Was it from an injury or he was
I don't know if it
born.
Was a natural one.
Uh-uh,
it might have been an injury. Can
so
you
So maybe
find
it was an injury because we're not
yeah,
seeing
nah,
it here.
Is that a
yeah,
thing?
It could be an injury.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but it was...
Well, I think your imagination...
It was so trippy,
was
bro.
Was it like this?
Show me.
No, that's like the Megan Fox thumb.
Oh, the one that looks like a big toe.
Yeah.
I had two friends that had that condition. Nice. And both of them were from the same country.
Really? What country?
Oh, they were from Palestine.
Oh.
Palestine / Jordan.
Okay.
No, can't be that.
Yeah,
that's a tough.
Do you guys
that's
have
a condition.
That thumb? Let's see your thumbs.
No, my thumbs are
normal.
Normal. Normal. Let's see your thumb.
My thumb had to be normal after.
Yeah, you can only have so many crooked fingers.
Fair.
What?
Yeah, his pinky doesn't fully extend.
Really? Oh my God, my dad has that.
There's a lot more people
and
now.
And I kind of have it. I have to.
She does kind of have it,
but you can straighten it.
Oh, I can.
But her resting position is like that.
My resting position is like this.
I need to research that.
You do.
Find out where that comes from. How it has affected me. Maybe I was meant to be like a natural sports player, you know, holding all those bats and
you know, maybe
rackets.
It could have been from the tennis, bro.
Yeah, because my dad was from basketball.
Yeah, maybe it could have been from the tennis because basketball players have like a weirdly like crooked like fingers, bro. Could have been from the tennis.
I don't know whether I had it before.
Could
have been
from the tennis,
bro.
Could have been from the tennis.
That's crazy.
But yeah, man.
Interesting. Interesting.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Wait, so... Okay, no, it's fine. So, what do you guys want to do in the future?
What we want to do in the future?
Yeah, where are we heading?
That's a fair question, bro. But I feel like... I don't mind, it's pretty... like I want to be an engineer.
Nice.
Thanks,
that's beautiful.
Man. Thanks,
we
guys.
Love it.
You, Billy?
Me? Guys, I don't know. I've always been very indecisive. And I'm still figuring it out now. I wouldn't mind going into academia. I still don't know what that looks like. We'll see. I'm still not sure. My dream, though, I would love when I'm older, like when I have my life figured out a bit, I would love to open up like a youth.
Oh.
Like
center,
eh?
Center for like arts and stuff. For Somalis.
Oh,
I guess this is speaking
okay.
of STEM things. Because I feel like, you know, for a lot of Somali kids, it's like, you know, doctor, lawyer. And you do those two things and that's it. I'd love to do that.
See,
I've always thought about something like
you'd
that.
You'd be
in
helping
the
people.
I knew you should find a way, bro.
You should definitely, bro.
I think what's in your heart expresses itself eventually, bro.
Yeah, bro. Even in your personality and the way you engage with people. We knew from day one, Bill. We knew from day one.
That's just something I think about sometimes.
I think for me...
don't set yourself up for failure by making such a noise. Surely they're probably... we need to make that a soundbite, bro.
Go ahead, Q. But yeah, I think for me, I know I'm in the right sort of field.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know I want to go into a business, but I'm not sure where exactly I would fit in or where. But I know this is it. I just need to find where exactly. That's my issue. So I hope by the time I close to finishing my degree, I know exactly, you know, when it's time to pick my majors and all of that.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is inspiration from my dad, watching him climb his way into the business world from a teacher to selling cabbages at the back of his van to eventually owning a lot of properties and all that. Just the watching him and the things he taught me, that's where my interest comes from.
I have to, bro.
Yes.
Can you picture yourself having a hand in lots of different things?
Yeah.
Doing lots of different things and like.
I think that's the main reason because by becoming a CA, you have a broad knowledge, understanding of what's going on in the business in general. Mm. And a part of me wants to help startups.
Okay.
A lot of people need funding, need basic understanding to, they have a great idea, but they just don't know much about business. I'll be there to help them set up their business and all of that.
Like a consultancy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That is dope.
I'm big on that as well.
That is really dope. I think it's I think society puts a pressure on us to really understand everything that we want to do by the time we reach our 20s, mid 20s.
Yeah.
And that's really it's not that fair.
Mm-hmm.
Especially considering how we're progressing now. Because, I can understand it in the previous generation. Mm. Because, I think a lot of things correlate with life expectancy.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? With every 10, 20 years, for the last, I think, 50 to 60 years, at the very least, we've seen increases in life expectancy. The average life expectancy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And, people can afford to retire later. People can work harder now for longer hours because of the advances in medicine,
the food
technology, and so on. So with that, I kind of don't understand why society hasn't also extended the time by which we need to figure our stuff out.
That's true, but I feel like...
I think it also takes a little more now to make it.
Mm.
Ooh. So don't you think that keeping that period the same is what's necessary in order to really make it?
That's a fair question.
I don't know. I also I feel like with the increase in life expectancy, I feel like that shouldn't mean you have to work longer because you can.
Yeah.
I don't want to live to work. I want to work to live. Ooh. You know, people who live to work.
Mm-hmm.
You want to work to live. Your work doesn't, you don't want it to be your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your life goal is your career goal. Mm-hmm. And they're one and the same.
Mm-hmm. Do you think inherently, okay, but don't you think helping people is also a type of work? And don't you think you can live, you can do that for a long time? Because that's still work.
That's true.
Or do you mean corporate work? Where you're in an office? Crunching numbers all day. Because I know people who love that as well.
Yeah, I think it depends. I think it depends. I think also we're living in a world where we're forced to choose early. And a lot of people end up in things that they don't want, but they have to because they have to make a living.
Exactly. And that influences a lot of the decisions they make.
Yeah.
A lot of the way that, a very large part of the life that they live. Mm-hmm. But it's, I'm a big advocate for, work in the regard of, not necessarily career, but work in the sense that I believe that an idle mind is a devil's den. Do you know that saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's great to be occupied.
Yeah.
That's true.
But occupied by not necessarily things that you're forced to do, but things that you want to do.
Yeah, that's the thing. What you want to do, right? And what you want may not always result in a paycheck.
Exactly.
I think that's why so many people, once they retire, then they're like, oh, I can finally do what I want.
Exactly. So I'm up. I'm definitely for that.
Yeah.
It's just sad that even if a lot of people knew what they wanted, they couldn't. Not everyone can do what they wanted. Which is just society wouldn't function. It just wouldn't make sense. A lot of people don't have the funds growing up to do what they want. So, you know, what I've come to understand is that sometimes you have to do what you not necessarily don't want to do, but something that you just like, but necessarily not your passion. Mm. But you have to do what you like or don't like even in order to do what you like, what you have find passionate.
I think there's a saying, I think Dave Chappelle said it in one of his like acceptance ceremonies for an award. He said his mom told him the saying. It's that one about like a, sometimes you need to be a lion to be the sheep that you really are.
Okay.
So the principle behind it is sometimes you have to do things that aren't intrinsically who you are to be able to live the way you wish to live. Right? And he probably meant it in a different regard, but I think it applies here with what you just said. Because sometimes chasing your passion won't necessarily allow you to become successful. And chasing your passion may not be available to you at any moment in time. You'd have to do certain things to really set yourself up to be able to do that passion. So it's like, you know, there's that sacrifice that you have to make. But I feel like that sacrifice that you make will be all the more worth it when you're able to do that. To engage in your passion.
Yeah, the appreciation is different.
The appreciation different.
You have you said the quote quite nicely, bro. You were on almost, I think, on point. Sometimes you have to be a lion, so you be the lamb you really are.
Oh, lamb. I said sheep. Yeah, my bad. We're close, eh?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. But yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, okay. No, I mean, to be fair, we're on.
Are we on the... Because we're trying to keep it short. We're trying to keep it just intense, short.
I really enjoyed this one. Back.
This was, it's nice. Really great. Again, this is giving me an opportunity to get more insight into my fellow co-hosts. And really learn more about you guys, eh?
Yeah.
Let us know how the shorter episodes are treating you guys. Should we carry on with them?
More feedback.
Yeah, feedback. And thanks for the... Nah, I don't even know if they would have watched the live yet.
But we'll have more lives.
We will. We will.
Instagram. And
shout out to the people who joined us on the first.
And contributed.
Yes.
Such a wonderful
experience.
The Q&A
was great. The talent show was great.
Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Please make sure
you can
to...
find it on our Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. Tune in. Mm-hmm. Keep up with the lives, eh? Join more. Keep the feedback coming. And yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you so much. Buff Babies for Life on three.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Buff Babies for Life.
Always.